Championship week has arrived. This is the NFL show powered by BetUS. I am your host, Jared Smith, back from his bye week. An interesting time to take a bye week there, Steve Fezzik, only available at pregame.com, but we are happy that you are back in the saddle with us this week, pal.
Got my big checks, partied like a rock star, and finally came back down to reality after a binge. I'm back, boys.
That's fair. Las Vegas, Chris, your Lions are playing in the NFC Championship game this week. I'm sure it was a fun weekend for you.
It was a very amusing weekend, very enjoyable. It was the only fear that you had as a Lions fan is that they would somehow let Tampa Bay slide past them, and that would have been humiliating and ruined our season. And it wasn't like they dominated to get through, but they got through. So that's all that matters.
Yeah,
Todd now the monkey's off their back, and there's no pressure on them.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Todd Bowles knew how to use timeouts, maybe that game would have been a little bit closer there at the end. But great stuff by us last week. Even in Steve's absence, we were able to carry the torch. And we'll get to those records in just a moment. But first, like and subscribe to the show. You could do that in many ways, of course, on the YouTube channel, but you can also retweet the content, engage with the content. You could sign up to become a BetUS super fan, gives you priority access in the chat. It's only $1 a month. Lots of different ways to support us here on the BetUS channel. Another way is to guess which one of us is holding the golden ticket this week, because guys, I think we only have one more show left, this show and next week, before we give the truck away. So interesting stuff. One of you guys is going to get it, but the only way that you can get entries into it is if you guess correctly which one of us has the golden ticket. There's other ways too, but I'm already seeing some people in the chat, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. All right, let's get started, because we do have a lot to get to. But first, a trip back in time, because I'll be honest, I think it was the best week for the show last week. No coincidences there. Steve was out for the week, and we combined went 12-2 on the show. I went 5-0, and guys, listen, this has been a magical run for me. I've had 8 straight winning weeks here on this show, and I'm hitting it at 60% this year. So I'll just shut up now and let you guys pat me on the back.
Well, I figure what's going to happen, it's going to be like Liberty Mutual, where I'm going to be the former spokesperson. I'm like, Fezzik walks to center stage and is crushed by a baby grand piano. Jared Smith will like go do the show solo after body slamming the bookies all year long. Fantastic job. Just punched it in a slightly above 60%. That's 60. That, my friend, will pay the bills. You know what I'm going to tell you, Jared? You're not betting enough. Bet more.
No, that 100%, right? That's always what happens. I'm doing well and I'm like, why didn't I bet double? But that's how you get into trouble, right, Chris?
Well, unless you're complaining about not being able to get down, you can always do better.
You can always do better. You can always do better. 5-0 last week, not good enough. It's not good enough, guys. I will try to be better next week. All right, enough tire pumping here. Let's get into what I think is some noteworthy trends, some noteworthy nuggets and movement and market updates throughout the week. Because, guys, we're at that point now in the season where we don't have this long menu of games, right? It's 2 games, thinning of the herd, less markets, less ability to, you know, find good buy and low spots. Like how, Fez, does your strategy change at this late in the year where there's literally 3 games for the next 2 weeks and 2 of them are going to be played on Sunday and we know the numbers are about as sharp as they've been all year?
Well, Super Bowl's easy because the prop menu is so extensive that it's like betting a full card because there's 500 things to bet on. The conference championships, although there's more props offered, it's not to any extent like the Super Bowl. So it becomes less of an emphasis. I start betting more college basketball. I start betting more other sports. I'm making a transition. It is nice, you know, that the prop markets there is more prevalent. But I mean, bottom line is the NFL season essentially is over. And yeah, as a professional better gambler, it's time to make money betting other sports now and to give that, you really, you know, 80% of your time.
Mm. Chris?
You know, it's interesting because each year there's a new batch of places or offerings that are available, and it causes you to really examine the new offerings and how you might be able to utilize them properly, and then you're comparing them. And one thing I'm sure Steve will have a lot to talk about during Super Bowl week is looking at the minor little differences in wording and the pricing, and just little differences that you can compare around that are important. I'm trying to do a big hedge on Kansas City futures, and I'm looking for every little thing that I can find that might benefit me. So, and as each day gets closer, new things pop up. So, it always keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, it's a weird time of year because it's, you know, we spend so much time every week prepping, you know, 16 games in a week, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, 6 games in a week, and like, all right, there's still, you know, a decent amount there, and then all of a sudden it's 4, and now it's 2, and then it'll be 1 in 2 weeks. So it just it allows you to, you know, spend that time elsewhere. And great point by Fez. If you're a professional better watching this show, you don't really need to spend as much time handicapping each game. There are other things to think about, but we will still give you a pretty detailed view of what we saw last week and how it kind of applies this week. So here we go. Let's try to turn the page, and we'll start by at least looking back at the Super Bowl odds, which I do think are noteworthy, and then we'll get to some trends from divisional weekend that might apply to the championship week here. But here are the Super Bowl odds on the board. Steve, it's hard to say that there's any value at this stage, but if you're looking at these odds, and you know, we haven't talked about the futures market much on the show because it just it's a hard thing to handicap on a Wednesday show that, you know, is a weekly thing. But, you know, with 2 weeks to the game, you know, 2 weeks from Sunday in the Super Bowl, is there anything to glean from this four-way market?
Oh, of course not. Other than to get a gaming license to book action, because we're at the point where we know how good these teams are power rating wise. I have San Fran and Baltimore right around 9 points better than the average team. KC 6.5 points better, Detroit like 4 points better, and I'm not on an island. Everyone else's numbers are going to be close to that, such yeah. that if you just shop for your best number, bet the money line, cash your bet, roll it over, bet it again, you'll do better, not for one of those teams, but for all four of those teams. So this is just a marketplace. I mean, it's interesting, but you can pretty much ignore it, in my opinion, at this yeah. point in time. I will say the one bet that maybe had value earlier in the playoffs was Green Bay, because I think if Green Bay was a team where you got a really nice price of like 30-1 and their power rating was going to explode had they held on, you know, and won that game, you know, and they had every opportunity to win. So now that Green Bay's out, I can't see there being any value in any of those.
Chris, when I look at the look-aheads that Circa dropped last week, Niners minus 1.5 versus the Ravens, Niners minus 3 against the Chiefs, Ravens minus 4.5 against the Lions, Chiefs minus 3 against the Lions. You know, looking at those, thinking about those, conceptualizing those, does that all make sense to you? Any early value either in those markets or the futures markets?
I went offline for a bit, so I don't know what we were talking about.
Oh, that's okay. Futures markets for BetUS, the Super Bowl odds that they just flashed. The Niners are plus 150, Ravens plus 180, Chiefs 4-1, Lions 8-1. Steve says no big value there, but the follow-up is on the look-ahead lines that Circa posted with you know, the four potential matchups next week. I can read them off to you if you want or if you have them in front of you. But
no,
off the top, the Ravens as a dog, maybe, right, guys? If the Ravens dominate the Chiefs this week and the Niners struggle, like, is there any chance the Ravens become the number one power-rated team heading into the Super Bowl if they shut down the Chiefs this week?
Yes, but yeah. There's no chance they'll be favored because the venue massively favors San Francisco. The game is in Vegas, and San Fran will have revenge against Baltimore, and they'll have two-thirds of the crowd. I mean, when I say two-thirds of the crowd, they'll be part of the crowd won't have any dog in the fight. But yeah. San Fran has a really strong following, and it's on the West Coast. This is going to be at least a point of home field for yeah. San Fran. So even if the teams are equal, San Fran does indeed have to be favored. There was one bet. The odds makers made a mistake here. The one bet that you had to make, and I didn't make it because, I don't know, I'm still celebrating. I should have bet plus 3 on Kansas City against San Francisco because there is no way
yeah.
that if Mahomes and company win in Baltimore, yeah. that they're going to be catching three against the 49ers. And this is a classic example of, well, Fez, your power ratings, you just said San Fran's 2.5 points better and they'll have a home field in the venue. Well, yeah, but that's based on today's power ratings. Kansas City's power ratings is going to go up to 7.5. They're going to bump a point if they win in Baltimore.
Good point. Chris, are you caught up now? Do you want to follow up on any of the
He's right. I can't believe I missed that. That would have been a nice one to hold. I think Steve's right that San Francisco is going to be the favorite, and I don't know why. I mean, I really want to take Baltimore versus San Francisco right now, but I'm not so sure that that's a good idea. I'm kind of evaluating that myself, but I have Baltimore the better team. So, but I don't know exactly when to pull the trigger on that.
Fez, is this a weird situation for you? Because it's pretty clear to me, and I know power ratings are the separate thing, but it's pretty clear to me that Baltimore is the best team in the NFL this year. The power ratings might not fully reflect that. We're getting a situation where we can bet on the best team, you know, in our heads as the underdog in a potential Super Bowl matchup, but it's outside circumstances that you think is going to keep this as San Francisco a favorite.
Yeah, and I agree that Baltimore's been the best team over the course of the season. Well, we're not playing the regular season anymore, so we got – I mean, do you have confidence in Lamar Jackson in the playoffs? I don't.
I kind of do, to be honest with you.
Really?
Let's leave it at this. Hold on. I have a little more confidence in him than Brock Purdy, I think.
Interesting. I don't, because I don't have enough data with Brock Purdy, and I got all the data I need with Lamar Jackson. Further, Lamar Jackson's a quirky quarterback that runs a quirky offense. It's extremely difficult to plan against, and that's why you see Baltimore shred all these NFC teams. Well, advantage Baltimore. Oh, but Baltimore already played San Francisco this year, so that advantage goes out the window. And how many times do you have to see Baltimore struggle in the playoffs and lose to teams that they should have beaten? So two-time MVP, hey, Baltimore's a great bully. Not with my money, not in the playoffs.
That's really old news. I think we saw last week how Baltimore responded in that second half. They've got different coordinators running things. They've got experience, and I think Baltimore is in darn fine shape. And when you look on the other side of the coin, 5 weeks ago you were ridiculed if you thought Brock Purdy wasn't the league MVP. And I ran a Twitter poll yesterday: who would you rather have, Goff or Purdy? Who do you trust more, Goff or Purdy?
That's another question I'm going to ask you guys.
And Purdy got 33% of the votes. 33%. This is a guy that you were a moron if you didn't back as an MVP 5 weeks ago. My health times changed.
Is it going to rain in Vegas? Because if it's going to rain indoors, I don't want Purdy, because he certainly seems to struggle in the rain. I agree with that. But I think it's unlikely.
I can confirm 100% the lock of this show. We will not get a weather game in the Super Bowl. It will be perfect conditions at Allegiant Stadium 2 weeks from Sunday. All right. The other big controversial thing, and we're going to get to the games in a minute. We only have two games. We'll have plenty of time to dive into it. There's one other thing that we need to get to before we get to the games, and that is what we're seeing on the sidelines with the Zebras. It has been a hot button topic this week. Not only who is reffing the games, but what they are calling. Before we get into some things that I think are important, let's debunk the myths first. Steve, the content that was put out this week about the referee, Sean Smith, who's doing the Chiefs-Ravens game, and his skewed record toward road teams, please tell me why that is pretty irrelevant heading into this game and why it's not going to be a hindrance for the Baltimore Ravens in this spot.
So they have a new casino we all love called Durango in Las Vegas. I was walking by through Durango, and they have those little, they have the roulette wheels where they show you the history of red and black that pop up. And what's this? I saw like 15 blacks and only two reds come up on one wheel. Clearly a 15 Great. And two run cannot be random. That's got to be something systematically biased on the wheel, right? I mean, no, there's a movie, A Beautiful Mind, where they had this brilliant scientist looking at a newspaper for Russian code, and he cracks the code and he comes up with this brilliant messages. But the problem is there is no code. If you look hard enough at trends and situations and the like, the bottom line is you're always going to come up with stuff. And like one thing, and I'm on an island here, but I'm right and everyone's wrong, is like this stupid umpire stuff where they like in baseball will be coming and the base winner and company will return. Great job here, a BetUS baseball show. And they'll talk about over and under umpires. And they'll say, this umpire is 18-4 to the over. That's got to be significant. I'm like, I'm like, who cares? That's just random noise. Does he make more bad calls for strikes or bad calls for balls? So if dude is consistently calling strikes balls, then we can bet over. Okay, now we can make a case, track that. But just the fact that he happened to randomly be behind the plate when there was 8 straight overs is meaningless to me. Same thing with all these refs. It doesn't mean now that the refs might not have biases. And I do believe the NBA is the king at this, where what they do, when they talk about extending series, well, they used to cheat and they would just like tell the refs, hey, we need the Lakers to beat Sacramento. But then it got kind of messy. And like, they showed all these fouls being called in Sacramento. They're like, we got to do a better job. So now what the NBA does is that if they have a premium team down 0-2, they'll be like, okay, we're going to have a refereeing crew that just tends to call more fouls in the paint. And guess what? They assign that crew to the team that has, you know, 2 skyscrapers that live in the paint. Systematically, that will benefit a team. So I'm not saying that referees can't be slightly biased in their styles, but to say that they favor a road team or a home team or the like, I think it's nonsense.
Chris, any follow-up to that?
I haven't really paid a lot of attention to it, but it's you can distort data very easily. You know, when you were looking at all that sort of stuff, then you sit there and you can isolate, hey, this coach, Pat Mahomes, wins 80% of the time, but he wins 77% of the time across the board. So what's the point of, you know, isolating that and trying to expose it in that fashion? So there's just a lot of data that you can twist.
It sells, right? Sex sells.
You know, yeah. Otto Graham won 80% of his games when the refereeing crew was male. If it had been female, it probably would have been 50-50. So clearly male referees preferred Otto Graham.
I think it's and the person who gives us a lot of this refereeing data, you can follow him on Twitter at NFLRefStats1, I think, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced the Twitter handle, but he does a really good job tracking this stuff. The key is, don't read too much into it. Don't underappreciate it. Look at it, use it as a tool. But to draw a conclusion based off of a very small amount of data and out of context data to basically accuse the NFL of trying to get the Chiefs into the Super Bowl because they want Taylor Swift money, it's a very dangerous narrative. Don't buy into that. Don't bet your money on that narrative. Instead, let's talk about something that is important in the officiating circles here in the playoffs. Offensive holding is the biggest decliner in terms of percentage called in the postseason compared to the regular season. That makes sense. Fez, we've discussed this before. At some point during the season, memos get sent. There was clearly a memo sent to the league or from the league to the penalty, to the officiating crews. Call less holding in the playoffs. It's more scoring. It's more exciting. You could call holding on every play, and it's a very subjective penalty. I've talked to offensive linemen, former offensive linemen, about this. The reason why this is important is because the team that was called for the most holding penalties during the regular season, the Kansas City Chiefs. So you can make the case that the style the postseason is being called at is benefiting a team like Kansas City.
Absolutely. And certainly if you want to make a case that the NFL is going to handpick some refs that don't like to call holding, I can go along with it. That would favor the Chiefs as well. We all see it, and pros, frankly, know every Super Bowl. Like, all right, I've been on Jupiter for 3 years. Well, who do I like in the Super Bowl? Well, I like penalties under. I mean, that's
Vinovich
always a good
call in the game. He's always an under penalties guy.
I mean, just in general, you don't want a Super Bowl tarnished by a whole bunch of yellow canaries flying on the field nonstop that disrupts the game. And frankly, you know, even like, what a disappointment when Kansas City, you know, won their Super Bowl against the Eagles and it gets decided by a penalty that's a penalty, but didn't have to be called. And just, it's a big disappointment. And so when in doubt, just, you know, keep it in your pants. I tell all my refs.
Chris?
Swallow those whistles. But no, I agree 100%. You know, when it's a league across the boards type of situation that you see a shift in, and that's...
I think Chris is having some connection issues here. So let's just move on. And if Chris is dropped off, we'll just continue the show. Fez and I will do, or at least we'll start this next set of games here. All right, let's get into the first game, because clearly the excitement of the moment here is just is overwhelming Chris's bandwidth. All right, Chiefs and Ravens. Opener here was pretty much 3.5. I mean, you could say that maybe it was 3 in some spots, but it was an expensive 3. Either way, we've gotten out to 3.5, and I'm even seeing some 4s here at some of the sharper shops in town. The under took a little money, but honestly, Fez, I think the first place to start with this number is, are you surprised that maybe we didn't get a shorter opener at 3 and you know, maybe stay at 3 longer, or was this one always destined for 3.5?
You know, I don't really care about openers that much in terms of trying to figure out what the odds makers are doing, because the odds makers are, you know, Vegas doesn't know. If you think Vegas knows, I assure you, Vegas doesn't know, and openers get put up that are wrong all the time. But what I'm shocked by is the movement here, because I would say I get the line movement right 80% of the time versus an opener. And the open 3.25, 3 to 3.5. And I was like, there's no way a 3.5 can hold. The power ratings make it 3.5. And I've got God against Lamar Jackson. And all Kansas City and Mahomes do is win in these games. So they're going to take money, and this line's going to correctly go down to 3. Let's lock in 3.5. And oh my goodness. So I bet 3.5. This never happens to me. And now there's 4s available.
Yeah.
So it's completely, and it's available at the sharpest books. That's the problem. So it's available at the books that I have the most utmost respect for. So I'm wondering, and you know what? I'm not infallible. I mean, I belong to the Wise Guy Union, but we don't all, you know, have our meeting on Monday night, smoke our cigars and stamp our approval.
I want to get an invite to this union.
Yeah, but you know, it has to be the right side. And money's coming in against what I like. So I left off my card. I lean to Kansas City, but frankly, I would have given out his play yesterday. And now it's just a strong lean based on all this money against the side I think is right.
Well, Chris, one of the issues here with this game is the liability that these books have for futures. So I know firsthand that Circa is rooting for Kansas City. So that's why you're going to see a favorable Baltimore or favorable Kansas City line all week until they get caught up on that. And it's going to be similar issues at other, you know, locations. So you have to know why certain books are moving certain lines.
I'm going to strongly disagree. I mean, I vehemently disagree. The line's not pick 'em. The line's 3.5, 4. We want to argue about futures liabilities on money lines. I will totally agree. But there is no way a sports book is going to go to 4 because they've got this liability. And I mean, it could land 1, 2, or 3. So I think it's a great point when it comes to money lines. Frankly, I just don't think it's very much liability compared to, they're taking $100,000 a pop on all these games. And there's no way any of these sports books are going to lose on their futures markets. When the sports book says, oh, we got lots of liability on one side, what they're saying is we're going to make $1 million if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, we're only going to make $300,000 if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl. I mean, they're going to make...
Oh, boo-hoo, sports books.
They're going to make money across the board. There's no liability there. It's just, am I going to make less money? And that's certainly valid. Like, Chris's point is really exceptional when it comes to what they're dealing, the money lines, if we get a funky money line being dealt.
All right, let's take an... Okay, so we've established the price is relatively fair. Fez probably would have given 3.5 out, but there's been some weird, tricky Ravens money that's kind of ticked into the market. How do we dissect that throughout the next stage of the week, Fez? Because I took some... I laid 3.5 last night when I saw Circa, Westgate, and South Point all go to 4. I was like, all right, well, you know, we're all going to 4. I already like the Ravens, but I thought, hey, maybe I can get a 3 later in the week. But I didn't now expect all of the entire sharp portion of the market to go to 4. So is this kind of one of those, hey, maybe we're wrong about this game, this leaks out to 4.5, or eventually we kind of drift back towards 3.5, maybe even 3 when we get closer to Sunday?
You know, maybe I missed it with the injuries. Maybe, you know, linebacker.
Dooney out. That's big. The starting guard.
And you know, maybe the linebacker Willie Gay might not yes. play, and he's the spy on Lamar. And yes. so maybe that might be worth a lot more to the marketplace. Not.
And Pacheco's yeah. banged up too.
Yeah. And you're so getting the injuries back absolutely. You know. You know. Warning. Here comes the math. Here. All right. So we start with the baseline number on a game, and I'm right there with my power rating to 3.5. So if there's some injuries that maybe don't collectively move the needle on any one individual, but you add up 3 or 4 of them and one team is significantly more or less injured at the key points, especially when it comes to, you look at Baltimore and Lamar's uniqueness, if Kansas City has some injuries that compromise their ability to slow him down running, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Chris, what are the injuries for Baltimore?
Well, the Kansas City has the offensive line injury, but they've yeah. got an adequate replacement that they're not they can fill in. So I heard some commentary this morning where they were discussing that particular problem, and you're talking about where yeah you lose one guy, but you had another guy that was recovering from injury, and now he's going to be even healthier, so fits in nicely sort of situation. So it's not crucial like maybe the Lions line is a little bit more of a concern. But I think that this line was short from day one. I think that they underestimated or overestimated how much Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid love was going to come into the market, because this line never belonged under 4, in my opinion. When it came out, when it did, I could not bet fast enough. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, by my numbers, this line should be well over 4. But you have to factor in Pat Mahomes in history, Andy Reid history, the change in the officiating, Lamar history. And with all those intangibles and all those unknowns, that's why it opened up lower. But the metrics of how these teams have been playing throughout the season, it's certainly over 4 points.
Yeah. Some good comments in the chat about the injuries. Thuney is unlikely to play. Didn't practice.
He's
today.
Listed as out.
Yeah, I think he is out, guys. I know on ESPN's site it's questionable. He's not playing. Pacheco and Gay both are questionable. And then the other big one was Edwards, the free safety for the Chiefs, who missed who got a concussion last week. That was a big piece, frankly, in the secondary for Kansas City. That's been a big reason why they've been a top unit this year. I mean, I know Snead and McDuffie have been great on the outside, but you lose your free safety, who's kind of the signal caller back there. It changes things. So I don't know about Edwards, concussion protocol. Good luck figuring that out. Willie Gay is one of those spy type pieces. I don't know how the Chiefs will officially use him, but he left the game on Sunday with a neck injury. So this isn't like a lingering thing where, like a Mark Andrews, where he's gotten healthier every week, we think he's going to play. This injury just happened. So it is very obvious to me that Kansas City is the more banged up team, right? -1 net rest advantage. Baltimore played Saturday. Kansas City played Sunday. Kansas City played a tough physical game where they lost multiple pieces to injury, where Baltimore coasted in the second half. And they've only played one meaningful game in 4 weeks, right? This is week 21. They only played one meaningful game since week 17. And that's where I think the bully aspect comes into this for me, Fez, where I respect Patrick Mahomes. I mean, how about some of these numbers on Mahomes? And I watched this replay of the Bills-Chiefs game. It was unbelievable. Mahomes and Allen were fantastic in that game. Mahomes now 3 straight playoff games without a sack or a turnover. I mean, it's like he is God, but yet, Fez, this number is leaking out towards the Ravens.
Well, yeah, but these are all distorted. This is all distorted because they're playing banged up deficient defenses. So is it really Kansas City getting better, or is it that they've been opportunistic against, you know, having extra rest and against depleted defenses in odd situations? And I think it's more the latter, that now it's going to come back to earth with a team that's healthy and has great coaching, both sides of the ball, and experience, home field. They're going to be ready for Kansas City.
You got a flake as a quarterback. I don't care. He's a 2-time MVP. He's not a 2-time world champion that underperforms in the playoffs. And the fact he could hand the ball off against a coastal Southern team and who can't tackle in the cold, fine. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm not going to diminish the 34-10 win. Hey, Kansas City had 7.7 yards per play. Bills had 4.7. Kansas City won that game by 17 points. So I don't care what the final score was and that Bass had to miss the field goal. I just could be wrong in this game. But one thing I will tell you is, as far as the transition, I have one best bet on this game. I think Lamar Jackson's going to run. Further, I think every single bettor out there is going to bet Jackson over. The good bettors, the bad bettors, the terrible bettors. It's the good story. It's the obvious story. And Willie Gay being injured makes it an even better story. So I just got into an argument with another sharp, and he's like, it's too late. You should have played over 60. And I was screaming at him. And it's like, you know what? Just because you didn't get the opening number doesn't mean you can't get a good bet in this. So my official play is Lamar Jackson, rush yards over 65.5. Hey, it's altogether possible. Right before this game kicks off, I say play back under 72, because I think this is a one-way freight train. Jackson just got 100 rush yards against Houston. He's going to run. He needs to go ahead, and he's going to do everything humanly possible to put a W and put a Super Bowl on his resume here. So that is an obvious good story play. It's early in the week. Let's lock it in now before it moves more.
I have a special request. Somebody create a GIF where he said, just because you don't get the opening number, it doesn't mean you can't bet it. Because I want that used every time you say that about point spreads.
I'm loving the chat. You guys really think I'm biased against towards the Ravens, and that's fair. I gave a very pro-Ravens take. I also said that Mahomes is the first quarterback in history to go three straight playoff games without a turnover or a sack, and he is God. But I think it's kind of David, like, it's kind of God against the best 22. Like, I think the Ravens are better at their team, but yeah, the Chiefs have the best player. Maybe that's the great equalizer, and maybe that's the reason why the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. But I don't think Lamar Jackson will be the reason why the Ravens don't go to the Super Bowl, if that makes sense. And I just think we've really, and these are facts. This is not opinion. The Ravens, every time they have faced a good opponent this year, have shown you their best stuff. 11 wins versus teams with a winning record. 9 of those 11 wins have been by 2 touchdowns or more. They are the first team in NFL history to beat 9 teams with a winning record by 2 touchdowns or more. And I know, Fez, it is the regular season. But
yeah, so let's bet Baltimore when these teams play in the regular season, next year. You know, it's interesting how we talk about, you know, Mahomes being God. And it reminds me, it's almost like, remember when Alec Baldwin, who some have said I resemble slightly, especially when he got fat and old. But in the 1993 movie Malice, he plays a heart surgeon. He's like, you know what? When I'm in surgery and they're all praying, you know, that their loved ones are going to recover, and they're praying to God, they're not praying to God. They're praying to me to make it happen. When you bet Kansas City, please, God, let the Chiefs cover. You're not praying to God. You're praying to Mr. Mahomes, and he's a good person to pray to.
If the number closes 4 or higher, Chris, it'll be the first time since Mahomes' first year as a starter in 2018 that he was catching at least 4 points. I think it's obvious now the number is going to close at 4 or probably higher.
Oh, that's not obvious.
No, I don't think so.
I disagree there. It's not obvious at all where this thing's going, in my opinion.
Okay,
it could go
fair.
Lower. It could come back down.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it closes 4 or higher, it will be the first time since 2018, both games in the regular season of the 2018 year at New England, at Pittsburgh. He was a 4-point dog in both games, covered both games, won one of them outright at Pittsburgh. So again, we are in unprecedented territory here for Mahomes in this era of God. Like, he wasn't God quite yet in 2018. Now he is God. We have, this will be likely, unless it does go back down to 3, the biggest underdog in the Mahomes God era.
Well, I think it might slip back down to 3.5. I don't think you're going to see a 3 again, and I don't think you're going to see 4.5 either. I think it's going to kind of waffle in that zone probably, because I think the narrative is going to be exactly what you just said, Jared, and that is, oh, Mahomes and Reed, they've never done this. They've always done that. And Jackson hasn't done this. And that's going to keep this line artificially low. I think there's always going to be value on this line. And there might, as you referenced, they beat the snot out of these better teams. Maybe there's value in looking at alternate, you know, lines. You know, because you know, when you really think about it, Kansas City probably sneaks out this win, or Baltimore plays to their metrics say that they're supposed to do and win by a touchdown or more.
I was going to say Ravens by a lot or Chiefs by a little. That's kind of my vibe here for this game.
Bill.
Yeah,
you know, I hate the alternative totals as a bettor that has like 100 zillion outs, and especially this time of year when there's even like opportunities to play at like extreme low vig and shopping around, and then the odds maker they flip this and they make, you know, Baltimore -7.5, and all of a sudden you know Baltimore's getting +165 and the Chiefs are like -205 and there's a 40-cent straddle, and it's like I literally look at that straddle and it's like, oh, this is. But I'm not going to bet into a baseball, you know, line, alternative line where both teams are like -$1.30 when I can play into a dime line. No, thank you.
Yeah. Scott D saying 4 flat, the highest we'll see. Yeah, that I could see that. We're getting a lot of people don't like us talking about God here on the show. It's not a religious show, guys. We're not doing any Christian commentary here. This is football gods, gambling gods. They have their own separate religion, separation of church and state. That's how we operate here on the show. All right. Official
Jared,
picks.
I think, you know, when you're talking about alternate lines, Steve's 100% right. The vast majority of them are complete garbage and laughable, but just because you've got these horrible spreads, it doesn't mean that if you shop them around, you're not going to find them off. And it's a tedious task to do, but there's some real diamonds in the rough when you're shopping alternate lines. Just this past weekend, I found the same shop offering the exact same prices for different spreads, for God's sakes. And I think I tweeted it out. So you don't know what you're going to find in alternate lines. So even though they're normally not very good, you can find value there.
Chris, someone just asked why you like the under. We're about to get to the official picks in this game, move on to the next game. But you're on the under. You haven't really given us any reasons why. But so
yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't know where we were talking about what. I got disconnected from you guys. But you're talking about the number
under 44.5.
You're talking about the number one and number two teams in pounds points allowed there. So I believe that they have played cumulative. I don't have the number. 75% of their games to the under this season. I lost my data.
The Chiefs have been a major under team. The second half unders have been crazy because Spags is such a good adjuster, and the Chiefs also had a second half under, I believe, last week.
Might want to hold some money back in case we get a big first quarter, you know, just to play live and play, you know, the second half under, you know, as part of your bet, if you like, under. Not to discourage you from making it right away, but that you like if you normally bet 2 units, for instance. And by the way, with bet sizing, let me, you know, I'm extremely opinionated. I apologize for that.
You opinionated? No.
Don't go and do something stupid like bet like 20% of your bankroll 20%. On the Super Bowl side or an NFC or AFC game because it's a big game and you're like super confident. I assure you, the best bets you could make are in the rear view mirror in terms of you know, the value that you can have. So because of that, keep your bet sizing under control and don't bet more on a side or total any more than you normally would. Now, maybe you'll find a prop that is really enormously well. While we're still in the first game, we should probably wrap this one up with our official plays. I'm on, like I said before, Lamar Jackson rush yards over 65.5.
Yes, I was trying to get to the official plays until a bet sizing interjection here by none other than Mr. Fezzik, but a very
worthy interjection. Yeah, I'm going to be on Baltimore one way or another. I don't want to lay the 300, the 3.5 or 4 at this point for the people that are viewing. If it were to be at this point 15 minutes before game time, I'd be looking at the money line. I know I said there's a lot of variance, but I just don't like to lay the points in that situation. If I can find a great money line price, I'd prefer to do that. But I definitely am on the Baltimore side one way or another.
I'm on the Baltimore side too. You know, Lamar Jackson's playoff history be damned. I think this is his year. And I'm laying it with the Ravens. I would love to find a 3. I said that in our group chat on Sunday night. Doesn't look like it's going to materialize, at least right not now. If it does materialize, you can bet your ass I'll be betting it. But for now, for the purposes of this show, I'm laying 3.5 with the Ravens. I'm also betting 2 props, both of them rushing attempts props. One of them goes with Fezzik's little nugget there on Lamar Jackson. I also think I think the Ravens are just going to bully the heck out of the Chiefs. That's where the advantages are against this Chiefs defense. They're great in the secondary, not great at the linebacking core. The Ravens are just going to run and run and run and run until the Chiefs say uncle. So Lamar Jackson over 10.5 rush attempts. Gus Edwards over 9.5 rushing attempts. And the Ravens minus 3.5. Chris is on the under, 44.5. He's also looking to the Ravens side. And Fez on the over, Lamar Jackson, rushing yard, 65.5. All right, that puts a bow on the AFC Championship game. Let's go to the nightcap. It's the NFC side. It is the Lions and the Niners. I'll call the opener 7 here, but again, according to Fez, openers don't matter. We saw a little bit of money come in on the under, but it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of interest pushing this off to 7 a week. Lions won, barely covered last week. Maybe if the Bucks got that two-point conversion, a bit of a different story on the ATS side. But the Lions did win. They did get the cover. Game went over. They were outgained by the Bucks, but plus 2 in the turnover margin. That's usually how you win playoff games. Niners won, failed to cover as a big favorite. Game stayed under. Purdy was okay. According to the Pro Football Focus people, it was his second worst grade of the season. So you can use that information to however you will. Fez, first question here right out of the gate, it's 7. Is there going to be a dividing line, a push on one side or the other here, or are we kind of destined to chop this sucker up on the key number for the whole week?
Oh, I think it's going to move. So it's all based upon Deebo Samuel. If Deebo plays and we get a good report that he's going to play healthy, I think it could go to 7.5. If Debo's out, I think it crashes to 6. He's been so important to that offense and yards per play. It's well documented. Doesn't make any sense. San Fran has so many weapons. If there's any, no skill position player in the NFL should be worth more than 1.5 points, and certainly not, and that's only for the case for a team like the Vikings where Justin Jefferson's so critical to their offense. It shouldn't be that way with San Fran, but it is for whatever reason. So without knowing whether Debo's going to play, I'm extremely reluctant to have any plays on this game. I can tell you, I did bet the under 52 opener because I said, you know, 52, I got Goff. I don't trust him outdoors. And it looks like San Fran doesn't trust Purdy. They're treating him like Jimmy G, you know, just hand the ball off at the end of the first half. But the weather's going to be perfect in San Francisco. And that I don't like that. And Detroit is a dead nut over team. So just to lean to me on the under, I cannot bet the side without the information about Deebo Samuel's status.
Chris, in the total side, Deebo, is it worth as much to you on the total side as the spread? And is Deebo really the differentiating factor for you with you know, how we analyze this game?
Well, I think that total drops under 51 if he's out.
Yeah.
I'm like Steve, I'm holding higher than 51, and I still like the under 51 in this game. I just think you've got a situation where there's not a lot of trust with Purdy, as Steve mentioned. The dynamics of that team have changed. They aren't the same team for some reason. And even if Deebo plays, I think that kind of changes the pace of things. The Lions are going to want to run that ball. They're going to want to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They have to do that to have success. So, I think both teams are able to. You know, last week, Green Bay got into the red zone, 6 times? You know, they could have scored a lot more. They also, both of these teams seem to have kind of bend but don't break type defenses, if that makes any sense, at times. The Lions, I believe, have given up in the last 8 red zone trips of opponents. They've only given up like 9 points or something like that. Because they're either giving up the long plays or they stop, you know, and the numbers might be a little bit off, but regardless, it's really strange the dynamics of how both of these teams kind of move the ball, and unless they're huge plays, it's a little different on how they score. So that's why I kind of lean a little bit, toward the under on that.
So the thing that stood out to me when I was looking at the Deebo numbers, and a lot of people in the chat are talking about it, I saw some people tweeting about it today. When Deebo was out earlier in the year, Trent Williams was also out. So you've got to, use those two things in hand. I think Trent Williams might be the most impactful offensive lineman in the entire sport in the last decade. And him being out also greatly impacts the Niners' offense. I agree with you, Fez. It is really hard to pick a side here, not knowing that Debo is out. But the one thing that I think we're not talking enough about is the Niners' defense, which does not look like the same unit 1 year after D'Amico Ryans left town. This is a Packers offense that ran it all over the Niners last week. I think that favors a Lions offensive line. That is a little banged up, but I think the Lions, like you say, the Niners don't trust Purdy. What if they're down two scores in the game because the Lions are running it all over the place? Like, they might not have a choice to trust Purdy in this game.
Yeah, I agree that the defense for the Niners has completely been much worse. Now, I think they had the wrong cleats last week in the rain. And just in general, Purdy and company played bad games in the rain in Cleveland and, you know, last week. So I think Purdy clearly does not like the rain. You know, as far as Debo, though, I don't care about any one game. I mean, this is like, you know, going back all of the games with the Niners, that offense is way worse without him. You know, having said all this, I said I don't want to bet this game without having that information. I am going to bet the game. I'm going to bet the Niners. I just think I might get a much better price without Debo, and I don't mind laying my $7.20 if Debo's in. Mark Holmes says the Lions' defense is trash. Correct, sir. Correct. The Lions are fraud. Who are the Lions? The Lions are like a good. The Lions are like a number three seed that, they struggled against Tampa freaking Bay. They just had like the two biggest wins in 25 years in Detroit Lion history. They're still celebrating. The confetti's still coming down from the Raptors. I've seen this story before. They've got an indoor timing-based quarterback. I know the conditions are perfect. Now he goes to grass and outside. It's, I've seen this movie a zillion times. The Lions cannot be the right side in this game. They cannot be. They're not going to win this game. And maybe if Debo's out, they find a way to cobble together, you know, a 23-20 loss. But I could only look to the Niners.
So you don't think these rosters compare, huh?
I don't care about rosters. I just care about who's the better team. And then San Fran was like an absolutely dominant, you know, team that was 10 points better than average team. And Detroit was 3 points better. And now Detroit's gotten a little bit better. San Fran's certainly a little bit worse. But I think
did you downgrade the Niners, Fez, from last week?
Yes. But I think the spot is horrendous for Detroit. Just absolutely horrendous. It's like teams don't come out of nowhere. Teams don't, unless Kurt Warner is quarterbacking them, teams don't go from sucking over the course of their careers to suddenly winning major championships. And it's similar to the NCAA tournament. You know what? Maybe bad example last year, Florida Atlantic had their
run. No, it's a good example because the teams get to the Final Four, and then once they're in the Final Four, that's usually where the Cinderellas end. They don't get to the championship game very, very rarely. They get the championship.
Yeah, and part of that is that, you know what? When the Lions came in the playoffs, they were like, boy, that'd be great if we could win a playoff game or two. And now they've done it. They could lose this game by a zillion. And they'll come home and they'll probably do like season. The bum Phillips Houston Oilers, give them a big parade. You know, good, great job, guys. Next year we'll kick the door down. You know, yeah, sure you will. And also I do want to say the media is completely, I can't stand the media when it comes to this. A team makes a 1 year playoff run and like, oh, we're set for life. We've got our great coach and we've got a great quarterback. To use Houston as an example, maybe. They don't make the playoffs for the next 4 years, and they just had a nice run this year. You know, and that certainly could be the case with the Lions also. Don't overreact to any 1 year's great performance. Remember when Carolina was 15-1 and Cam Newton was going to win four MVPs and they were going to win three Super Bowls? Be careful with that.
Chris, do you want to follow up on that directly, or do you want me to tease
up on a
couple of numbers?
He's making me like the Lions a hell of a lot more than I did, quite frankly. I just – because – The lack of knowledge and familiarity with the team is actually creating extra value for the Lions and actually creates the lack of respect. I don't think you have any familiarity with what's going on with that team, and I don't think you have any familiarity with how solid the team really is and how well they do actually match up. I mean, these guys are filled, and on the surface, I would agree with everything you absolutely said. And I would say, yeah, they're just happy to be there, this, that, and the other. go ahead and watch a handful of the Dan Campbell speeches to his players from 2022, 2023, the locker room. Look at hear what the players are buying into. Look at the rookie class that they just drafted. They have like three Pro Bowlers from their draft. I mean, if you compare the quarterbacks, Goff's the better quarterback. CMC's better, but I'll tell you one thing. Aaron Jones got caught trying to make the end zone. Gibbs wouldn't have been caught. Amon St. Brown is faster than anybody that San Francisco's been facing. They are adequately loaded at receiver. They're tight ends with Ertz and Laporte. They're fine there. They have all the elements of what you need. They're several running backs deep. Their defense, they've got Branch back there. They've got that Gardner White guy. I know that's not his name.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
You know, it's funny.
They've got a top five rushing defense. Top five in the league. This isn't some fly-by-night team that's a Cinderella story. They actually belong. Now, I do agree with you that Campbell, I don't trust his coaching ability. It worries me. I love his rah-rah. I don't trust his in-game coaching. But Shanahan has proved that he makes quite a few mistakes himself. So
true.
Is the difference really that wide here? I mean, I agree San Francisco's the better team, and they should win this game. But I honestly believe that the Lions belong, and I don't believe that they're showing up, sitting there going, we're happy to be there. I think they're up for the task, and Goff has won outdoors. He's won in bad weather. He's won on the road. This is his second team that he's taken to the conference finals. He has the experience and the confidence. There's a lot of reasons to like this Detroit club.
There's a lot of reasons not to like them too. The Bears kicked their ass in two games. Should have beaten them twice late in the year. And
last time they played outdoors, by the way. Week 14.
And they played, you know, I go back to like Minnesota. What a break. They get the Vikings, a free-falling Viking team in two of the last three games. And even the game they won against the Vikings, they got completely outstatted. Heck, they barely beat the Chargers. I mean, they played a great game against Dallas, and the offense, Chris is right. The offense is very good. Defense stinks, and bold prediction. All right, I'm going to say it. The Lions missed the playoffs.
The way you're going to have to beat the Lions, though, but you're going to have Purdy beat the Lions. The Lions have one of the top rushing defenses in the league.
He's going to
So that puts the ball in Purdy's hands.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't have Debo.
I'll predict San Fran runs for 5 yards per play and just runs right through him.
Now I know how Molly Karam feels on Undisputed when, you know, Skip and Shannon used to go at it all day long. This has been lively. It's been a lively debate. All right, I'll give you a couple numbers here, and we'll take one more trip around this game, and then we'll wrap things up, and we'll get to the Q&A, because I know we've got some really good questions brewing in the chat. Our pal Todd Furman put out this tweet today, and it kind of goes to what you were talking about, Fez, with the outdoor stuff. So the Lions are playing just their second outdoor game since October. The road games they played since the bye week, which was in week 9, was at the Chargers, at the Vikings, at the Cowboys, at the Saints. Their only other outdoor road game was that week 14 game at Chicago when they only scored 13 points, got shut out in the second half. And the home road splits for Jared Goff have been just cavernous, the gaps there. I won't read them all out because it's just a lot of number grabbing, but it's a big gap between what he's done at Ford Field the last 2 years compared to what he's done on the road. So does any of that matter to you, Chris? Like, I know a lot of it's
noise,
right?
Yeah, read those
right?
stats.
You know, outdoor,
bore
indoor,
us with those
does
stats.
Does it matter to you at all?
Bore us with those stats.
All right, home road splits. Here you go. 17 games at Ford Field, 42 touchdowns, 9 picks. 17 road games with the Lions, 17 touchdowns, 10 picks. 2.5 passing touchdowns per game at home, 1 flat on the road. But the caveat is, weather forecast in Santa Clara this week, nice weather, light winds, no rain, et cetera, et cetera. I do think that the Niners defense being a step below might be what is kind of the great equalizer here. Like, I think the Lions might just be able to line up and run it right down the Niners' throats. And I don't know if the Niners can stop them. They couldn't all stop right.
Packers. Their secondary can't, and they ran it down the Chargers' throats. And the way that San Francisco is going to have to beat the Lions is they're going to have to do a Herbert-type thing. And
all right,
have
so
to
I'm
pass
not
going to
be that
ball.
Blowhard that talks up a team like nonstop. This is, I have a lean, so San Fran -7. Live
wow,
bet,
he's
out
got
get,
the window on the Niners.
We're going.
All right,
so here's
all right,
the deal.
This. This is the follow-up that matters the most here with this. What are the percentages you think that Debo plays? I'm hearing 50-50. Does 70, that make sense to you?
No, 75%, but he might be compromised. I think if they got to tape him together with some zip ties and some super glue, they'll get him out there.
I agree.
Okay. So if we think Debo is going to play, even if he is compromised, it is safe for us to assume the Niners and the total, the over, moves up and the Niners go out to 7, maybe -120.
So, safe, yes, for the Niners, but no for the total because the total is slightly too high right now. So the pros want under. And so I think it's if Debo plays, the total closes 51. If he's out, it closes 49.5. If Debo plays, the Niners close -7, lay $1.20. If he's out, it closes -6.
But you're telling me there's a 75% chance that he's going to play, which is pretty probable.
That's what
so
I would.
I should feel safe. So what your point is, I should feel safe betting over 51 now, knowing it's not going to close 49.
Yes, and I have good news for you, Jared. So Chris and I are going to do a bet mano a mano. He's got Lions. I got San Fran. We're all going to dinner at Durango. Loser has to buy, and Jared gets to eat for free.
Damn right I get to eat for free because I had a 60% year. All right, here are my bets for this game. I am betting the over 51, and I listen. You know, I'm not this professional sharp that's got all these numbers. This is just my feel for the game. This is how I see it scripting out. The Lions, just like the Packers did last week, run it all over, left, right, and center. The difference is it's not rainy, bad weather. I think the Niners' offense is going to look a lot better, a lot fresher than it did last week, and we are going to see both teams have a pretty easy time moving the ball here. The Lions running it, play action off of it, and the Niners just kind of doing whatever they want because that's been their vibe. When that offense is humming, they do whatever they want. So I'm betting the over 51, and I'm betting Jahmyr Gibbs over rushing yards. I got 48.5. I bet his attempts, his longest rush too. I think that to me is – I think this is a Jahmyr Gibbs game. He is the most talented player on the field for the Lions offense, and this is why they drafted him for this game. Go watch what Aaron Jones did to this Niners defense last week. Aaron Jones and Jahmyr Gibbs, very similar skill set. I think this is a very good game for Jahmyr Gibbs. So over on Gibbs, over 51. Chris is going Lions and under. Fez put his money where his mouth is. He made a Durango wager where I get to eat for free. Love those. And a Niners -7 live bet. All right, guys, that is one solid hour of NFL game content. Well done across the board. Now we get to the Q&A portion. And I hope there's some good questions in the chat. I saw one really good one while I was scrolling through that I wanted to make sure we get to. And let me see if I can scroll up and find it really quick. Yeah, here we go. It's from Megabucks. And it's about a teaser that he made. Yeah, here you go. He took a non-Wong teaser, Fez. San Francisco to a pick, Kansas City to +9.5, and he wants you to shred him. Go ahead, shred him.
San Fran is obviously perfectly okay, so, like, a warning, math question, here comes the math. Let's go to the money line on San Francisco. So right now, if I play the money line, shop around, BetUS -325, that looks to be close to the best number that I can find, all right? So if I play San Fran in a, just to make it an identical bet, San Fran in a 6.5-point teaser, all right, which at BetUS, that's going to be, you're going to be laying -130, all right? So each leg you're going to be laying then obviously -300. So help me out here. I believe, Jared, I believe it's better to pay $3 for gas than $3.25. Am I correct
100%.
There you go. So,
Great math.
Right. So the teaser on San Fran is superior to the teaser on the money line or the money line bet by a good 25 cents. So I got some wiggle room now where I can, well, I got to tease it with something, Fez. Don't forget about that. Well, now maybe Kansas City's not a traditional Wong teaser, but because the San Fran is a very good teaser, I can pair it with something. Now, what you want to do though, is you don't want to take the 3.5. You want to find a four because there's fours out there, and you never want to take the worst of the numbers. So find a shop that has the game San Fran minus seven and has Kansas City plus four, and then you want to whack it up with a 6.5-point teaser, take San Fran down to minus a half. You take Kansas City up to plus 10.5. I will absolutely endorse that teaser at minus 130.
Chris, any thoughts on that teaser?
Yeah, I'm just doing a calculation here. Yeah, you can actually do the same thing, though. You can actually take San Francisco pick on the money line, and you can take Kansas City plus 10.5 on the alternate line and do that in a parlay, and you'll pay less than 130.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Yep.
So that's an example of the alt line being more attractive. And the reason that it pays better is because the San Fran leg of this, you're going to do better teasing it. But on the Kansas City alt line, you're going to get them. You're probably getting KC, I'm guessing, plus 10 F, like 260 or something. So you're getting something more attractive than what you're paying in the teaser, where you're implicitly paying minus 300.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. If there's any more questions, guys, please put them back in the chat here so I can get in. I haven't seen any other ones that are pressing, but I'll give you a couple of my questions that I had on my list. Let's go back to this. Let's go back to this Ravens Chiefs game really quick. In terms of the total, Fez, we haven't talked a whole lot about the total. I know Chris does have an underplay on the 44.5. We've seen a big run of overs over the last few years with this total. Have you seen any significant movement on the total from it? You think we're going to close lower than 44.5 here?
I don't, because I think we have seen money come in on the under, and certainly the second half under has been gold with Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the weather's not going to be perfect, but I think that narrative is going to get out there. The NFL wants scoring, and they're just not calling as many penalties on the offense. And so we're seeing higher scoring games in the playoffs. I think I'd be very careful about making big investments on totals, unless it's an example where you just think that the number's just completely off and it's going to move. And certainly this number, in my opinion, won't go any lower. So gun to my head, I would play over at post and probably get a 44.
Yeah, it looks like, again, if the public percentages, we don't glean into them too much, but at this stage of the year, maybe they hold a little bit more weight than they normally would because of the high-profile nature of the game. More people will bet early and just more people betting in general. Based off of that, it looks like the over is the more popular play early in the week, as, of course, as we would expect. But that number has moved down a little bit, which should be your indication that there is some pretty significant money out there for the under, and we've seen this total drop a little bit. So before we move on to the final segment of the show, closing number predictions, Fez. Give me your closing number predictions for both games.
Baltimore minus 3.5, 44. San Fran minus 7, lay $1.20 with Debo playing, total 51.
Chris?
My high quality internet service today.
We got Chris there back. Chris, what are your closing number predictions for both games?
Closing number predictions 3.5 and 44 in the first game, and then the Debo is too much of a wild card. I don't think it goes down to 6 necessarily, though. I think that's a little low. I think it's either a very strong 6.5 or a very strong 7. For this game.
You know, Chris, when you say that, I don't know what you mean. When you say a really strong 6.5 or a really strong 7, does that mean 7?
Well, I should have said a weak 7. I said, I think it either goes extremely weak 7, strong 6.5, or a very strong 7.
You mean a plus 7 even odds is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, plus 7, lay $1.20 would be a weak 7. Like, it'd be 6.8, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
But I you know what, I don't know for sure on that. As we know, public money can sway these lines a little unexpectedly. Around this time of year and in the Super Bowl.
100%.
By the way, for those who haven't joined us before, I quote point spreads and decimal points. All right. Just so when I say a line, like right now, if you said what's the Kansas City Baltimore line, I would say it's minus 3.75 Baltimore. Meaning it's kind of split between the 3.5s and the 4s. So if I say a line is 6.9, by example, that would mean, well, it's mostly 7s, but some shops, if you play the dog, they're charging you extra vig. taking the plus seven, lay $1.15 or minus $1.20. So that's what I mean by those decimal spreads. When I break it down, obviously no book is actually dealing 6.9 or 3.75.
I should have said 6.75. This decimal system, I do like it. I'm just getting used to it, though.
There's a lot of literal Larrys out there that will call you out on that, Fez. They tend to be of the troll variety that don't have profile pictures on certain social media apps.
You know, I have to say, earlier in the year, I said that a line. No, I didn't say it. Somebody else, I think it was the gal on Good Morning Football, said, oh, this line is plus three, plus 100, which I thought was absolutely A-okay, crystal clear. No one is going to confuse what plus three, plus 100 is. And I think someone, like a long-term gambler, said, she's a dummy. Everyone knows it's plus three even money. And I've been a huge proponent. No, you're the dummy to say even money. Even money's confusing to people. What does even money even mean? You know, or saying something's flat or even money. It's all, why would you make it complicated, especially with new people entering into the arena? Just say, you know, plus three, plus 100 or minus $1.20. There's no confusing. A sharp fifth grader understands immediately exactly what you're saying. So kudos to the Good Morning Football gal, and shame on the odds, old school odd shamers that are just looking to hate everybody.
Yeah, I think it's I think that referring to Kay Adams, she does her, she actually has her own show now. She used to do Good Morning Football. It was an even odds plus 100. It was an opportunity for someone who's smart to show off how smart they are and make someone else feel dumb, which in my opinion is the worst, most petty form of content you could put out there in our space. To that end, we don't put out petty content here on the show. We only put out winners. That's what we've been doing lately. So here are the winners from the show. Let's show you all of our picks from the show. And then we'll get to, we kind of went in a different order today, but that's okay. We'll do the golden ticket in a minute. Fez, we added a pick for you, of course, putting his money where his mouth is. So you can add Niners minus seven to Steve's list. I've got the most robust card of the week, so none of you can complain to me about sitting on my lead because I went with five picks this week. I think my favorite child is the Ravens minus 3.5. I just think it's Lamar's year. And I think all the Swifties are going to be really sad on Sunday. Chris, who is your – I know who Steve's favorite child is of the week because he only has one. But Chris, who is your – oh, no. I guess you could pick the second one, Steve. Is the Niners your favorite child? Because you
No, Lamar Jackson child? Over. Bet this now. Darn it. Now, before it moves.
I bet it yesterday at 64.5. I love it. It's a great play, including all the rushing attempts prop for the Ravens. Chris, who's your favorite child this week?
Well, the graphics are wrong. It says I have some parlay. I don't have a parlay. I have.
Yeah, that's last week because it's impossible for you to take the Niners and the Lions on the money line.
Okay, I just wanted it to be clear.
That would be some hell of a parlay, right?
That's a bad wager, Chris. I don't like that.
Yeah.
We've already got a loser on the card this week. We bet the money line in both the Niners. And no, obviously, it was a typo. I'm sure they'll get that fixed. All right, while they're getting that fixed, let's do the golden ticket reveal. Here we go. Big money. Doug had it last week because they always love to give it to the newcomer. It's always beginner's luck. I bet I have it this week because I deserve it because I've had such a great year. Or Chris. Steve does not deserve it after missing last week. That's for sure. Oh, yep, there you go. I deserve it, guys. Come on.
That's all he does is win, win, win.
That's all I do. It's been a winning year. If you had to peg how far off of 60% you thought I was going to be this year with my records, like how much more winning did you expect me to do than I actually am doing?
Like, so this makes me – this is very similar when like Hulk Hogan comes out and like – And it's like posing, and they're I wanna be an American, and then the Macho Man, yes, who shows up for no reason at all with his grandstanding and his hot dogging and his 60% showboating, you man,
love it. Someone said bet the no on Chris. Mark Holmes bet the no on Chris in the golden ticket market. It's a good bet every week. It's usually a winner. I don't know. It's been the bread and butter of the season. All right. Do we have a fixed graphic for us? I don't want to shortchange Chris. No, we do not have. Unfortunately, Chris, you are stuck with Lions and Niners money line parlay this week. Good luck with that wager, sir.
Well, if it ties, it's a push.
No ties in the playoffs.
So I would be remiss. We haven't talked about this. In the playoffs overtime, it's actually correct. It's correct to take the ball, even though the defense now knows what they want, advantage defense. And the reason it is advantageous to take the ball is that the 2-for-1 sudden death situation, if both teams punt, or if both teams go 3-3, then advantage getting the ball first is enough to almost always warrant taking the ball first. One other item, should a team score a touchdown, they have to kick the extra point, not go for two. That'd be an egregious mistake. But their opponent, when they answer with a touchdown, absolutely must go for two. And so in your live wagering, consider that if you go into overtime, all of a sudden there's a chance, there's a much better chance the game lands one than it would in normal overtime rules.
I love that for two reasons. One, it's 100% correct. But two, we haven't had a playoff overtime game with the new rules yet. So our eyes haven't seen this play out. The fact that we already know the script before it, like, we might get one this weekend. I hope we do. That'd be awesome.
Well, we don't know the script if Ron Rivera made the playoffs. But otherwise, I'm pretty confident. Yes.
Ron Rivera probably would not get that right. But I'll be honest, after watching Todd Bowles last week, I don't know if he would have gotten this situation right either. I think Shanahan would. Harbaugh? I don't know.
Hey, Bowles went 50-50? For 2 down 8, and that was a slam.
But he needed help there. He almost didn't.
Don't care, as long as he's smart enough to do what someone tells him to do.
It's like someone radioed up top.
There's still people arguing.
That's fine.
There's still people that don't understand that. And it's like, I encourage everyone, all the adults out there that still think you should kick the extra point. You go to my Twitter, at Fezzik Sports, I explain it. Gil Alexander explained it as well. But I would, if you still don't understand it, and this is horribly condescending, and I apologize for it. You can go back to your local junior high school and take eighth grade algebra again, and it will, and you'll be able to master that the fraction 5/8 is greater than 4/8. It's better to win 62.5% of the time than 50% of the time.
Go ahead, Chris. Final thoughts before we say farewell.
In theory, that is 100% indisputable, but in practical purposes, with matchups, injuries, and talent on the field, that's not necessarily true. There could be situations where you wouldn't follow that.
If you're a 14-point favorite, I think you should just kick both times and just go to overtime, because I think you win even more. So I agree. There are exceptions.
You have teams that just can't make 2-point conversions. If you don't have the personnel on the field that's healthy, then why would you do that? So you could.
If you're
be
a two-touchdown favorite, I hope you have the personnel to get a 2-point conversion. But it is a good story and a good topic. All right, before we say farewell, final predictions for Sunday. Who's playing in the Super Bowl? Fez?
We're gonna get Baltimore and San. No, because oh my god, I don't know who's coming from the AFC. We're gonna get the Niners. And the Niners, regardless of who they play, will be favored because the market will awaken to the fact that there's some home field advantage playing in Vegas and there being so many Niner fans in close proximity.
Great point. Chris, Super Bowl.
I think it's going to be Baltimore and...
All right. I will actually step out onto the ledge of risk and tell you that the script is correct. It has been, I was going to do a bit for the Super Bowl. I'm going to bring out the script like the old Johnny Carson, thing where he put the letter on his head and he pulled it? Yeah, we're going to do that for the Super Bowl. But the script is in. It's going to be the Ravens and the Niners, guys. Don't worry. You won't have to deal with Taylor Swift until next year's Super Bowl when she's performing at the halftime show in New Orleans. The Chiefs are there. Travis Kelce will retire at halftime and then go on to the field for the halftime show and watch his then fiance Taylor Swift perform. But Chiefs will not be in the Super Bowl this year. Don't worry, you don't have to worry about it. It'll be the Ravens and the Niners 2 weeks from this Sunday in Las Vegas. This has been a fantastic show, guys. I'm glad we've had time to really stretch out what's been a weird season. Obviously, next week will be a very different show, and then the following week will be our final show of the season where we'll give you our final predictions for the Super Bowl. But I don't know what we're going to do next week. What do you think? Props, probably? Props, kind of overarching market stuff next week, guys, right?
We'll talk prop theory. There won't be enough of them up yet to bet. So we'll talk about initial bets on the game and prop theory about how we're going to attack them.
Yeah, going to be a weird couple weeks, but we'll figure out a way to navigate through it. Right, Chris?
I hope so.
All right. For Steve Bezzik, only available pregame.
Wins, but I want to root my Lions in. So
I know. It's the Lions. It's been a great year, Chris, but I think this is where the end of the rainbow. We will have to leave you because I do think the Niners will be playing in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas in 2 weeks. All right. For Las Vegas, Chris, Detroit, Honolulu Blue till he dies, and Steve Fezzik, only available at pregame.com. I'm Jarrett Smith saying farewell. See you next week. Good luck.